In your pew Bible, Hebrews chapter 12, we're going to begin reading with verse 3. We're going to read, last week we read through verse 11, this week we're going all the way through 13. That's page 978 in your pew Bible. So let's read God's Word together. Consider Him who endured such hostility against Himself from sinners, so that you may not grow weary or lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood, and you have forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as children. My child, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, or lose heart when you are punished by Him. For the Lord disciplines those whom He loves, and chastises every child whom He accepts. Endure trials for the sake of discipline. God is treating you as children, for what child is there whom a parent does not discipline? If you do not have that discipline in which all children share, then you are illegitimate and not His children. Moreover, we had human parents to discipline us, and we respected them. Should we not be even more willing to be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them, but He disciplines us for our good in order that we may share His holiness. Now discipline always seems painful rather than pleasant at the time, but later it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees. I hope the rapture does take place. The Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. God bless you and be seated. The light had turned yellow just in front of him, and he did the right thing stopping at the crosswalk, even though he could have beaten the red light by accelerating through the intersection. The tailgating woman was furious and honked her horn, screaming in frustration as she missed her chance to get through the intersection, dropping her cell phone and her makeup. As she was still in mid-rant, she heard a tap on her window and looked up into the face of a very serious police officer. The officer ordered her to exit the car with her hands up. He took her to the police station, where she was searched, fingerprinted, photographed, and then placed in a holding cell. After a couple of hours, a policeman approached the cell and opened the door. She was escorted back to the booking desk where the arresting officer was waiting with her personal effects. He said to her, "I'm very sorry for this mistake. You see, when I pulled up behind your car while you were blowing your horn, flipping off the guy in front of you and cussing a blue streak at him, I noticed your 'What Would Jesus Do?' bumper sticker, the 'Choose Life' license plate, the 'Follow Me to Sunday School' bumper sticker, and the chrome-plated Christian fish emblem on the trunk, so I assumed you had stolen the car." I have to give thanks to Fred Dunphy for sending me that. She needed some discipline, didn't she? We all need God's discipline in our lives. In fact, the writer of Hebrews says that if God is not disciplining you, you're not His child. So it is something that we are to expect, that this is part of being a follower of Christ, is that there will be discipline. Last week, we looked at some of the ways that God disciplines us. Today, I want to look at the results of God's discipline. Last week was the how. Today I want us to focus on the why of discipline. God's discipline always has a purpose. And the writer of Hebrews, we read it, he tells us what that purpose is. And he says that God disciplines us because He wants us to share in His holiness. He wants us to share in His holiness. Now, oftentimes we have misconstrued holiness. We thought that holiness is something we do. It's effort, it's work, it's striving, it's trying harder, it's attempting to do better, it's judging yourself by someone else, it's trying to find where do I fit on the plane, where do I fit on the cycle of holiness. Am I holy? And for years, now maybe this never happened in the United Methodist Church, but for years, many churches have tried to lay out this is what holiness is. If you do these things, you're holy. If you don't do these things, you're not. And it became as bad as the Pharisees of what you could do and what you could not do. I've told you this before. The church I grew up in, you weren't supposed to go to movies if you were a member of the church. Could be why many people didn't join. But I remember the first movie I ever went to see. My aunt and my two cousins, they came to pick me up. And I don't know why. My mom relented to allow me to go see this movie. It was a World War II movie called Battle of the Bulge. And we were going to go to the State Theater downtown. And we get in my aunt's car, and I'm sitting in the front seat, and I'm saying to my aunt, I'm saying, her name was Maddie Mae. Hey, Maddie Mae, let's go. Let's go. We need to go. Let's go. Because I could see my mom walking toward the car. And she got right up to the window of the car, and she tapped on it with her fingers. And I rolled the window. This, I know some of you didn't know, but at one time you used to have to roll windows down. I rolled the window down on the car, and my mom leaned in, and she said, Rodney, just remember, if Jesus comes back today, he's not going in a movie theater looking for you. I slowly rolled the window back up. We went to the movie. I probably got up five times to walk outside to make sure that airplanes hadn't crashed into buildings and fire wasn't falling. So I didn't even enjoy it. I had to eventually, as an adult, watch it on television to find out how the movie ended. That was holiness. It was what you did or did not do. And yet the writer of Hebrews tells us that God disciplines us because he wants us to share in his holiness. Peter alluded to this in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, where he says, you are a chosen people. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. God, according to the writer of Hebrews, calls us to share in his holiness. I want that to sink in for just a moment. That God, the holy God, the God that Isaiah said he saw angels and cherubim flying around him, crying out, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, the whole earth is filled with your glory. This holy God, this God who is so holy that he says to Moses, you cannot look on my face and live. You'll die if you look at me, Moses. This holy God says to you and I, who at one time were sinners, says to you and I, you are a holy people, and I'm inviting you to share in my holiness. And it's discipline that opens the door and allows me to gaze, to embrace, and to partake of God's holiness. The angel said, Zechariah said this in Luke chapter 1, verse 74 and 75, speaking of Jesus, that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all of our days. Paul wrote the Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 22, you were taught to put away your former way of life, your old self, corrupt and deluded by its lust, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to clothe yourselves with the new self, created according to the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. This morning when you were getting ready, getting on your clothes, you began to put them on. And and just you went through all the things you do every day of putting on clothes. You didn't think about, okay, I've got to remember that the buttons are on the right and the buttonholes are on the left if you're a man. I've got to remember that the right shoe goes on the right foot and the left shoe goes on the left foot. I've got to remember to wear two shoes of the same color. I've got to remember all, that never crossed your mind. You just got on your clothes. This is what Paul is referring to. He said, God has clothed you with the new self. I can remember when my dad was a plumber. I can remember he'd come in from work sometimes, and it would be in the summer, and he would have sweated so much that you could look at his clothes and see the salt. And he would come in, and maybe he'd been working in sewers and cutting sewers or working in a ditch, or maybe he'd been on a repair job, and he was just dirty. And my dad thought that you just came in the house. Now, my mom didn't think that. And I can still remember her in the kitchen, because she'd hear my dad drive up in the car, his truck, because he always blew the horn to let her know I'm home. And he'd come walking the door, and my mom would be standing in the kitchen. And the first words out of her mouth usually were this: Robert, take off those dirty clothes. Don't come in the house with those dirty clothes. And there was a little washroom in our garage. He'd go in there and take them off. And of course, take the clothes off. Because she didn't want that coming in. And Paul writes to us and says, God took those dirty clothes off of you and I, and he's clothed us with this new self that has been created according to the likeness of God in righteousness and holiness. God did not clothe us with dirty clothes. He didn't clothe us with something that says, well, it's still got a little bit of stained sin on it, because I just want you to remember how corrupt and how terrible you were. No, it is new clothes. They are clean clothes. They are righteous clothes. They are holy clothes. When God sees us, He doesn't say to us, you can't come into my house wearing those dirty clothes. He says to us, you are clothed in my righteousness and my holiness. And then the writer of Hebrews tells us something else discipline does. He says, discipline produces the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Discipline enables us to share in the holiness of God, but discipline also produces in us the peaceable fruit of righteousness. I want to just tell you what I think the difference between holiness and righteousness is. Holiness is how I live. Righteousness is who I am. My righteousness is exemplified and it's lived out through holiness. I do what I do because I accept and believe and understand and trust that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And so that becomes the dominating factor of every action I take. So rather than, you don't better not lie because your mama may find out. You know, if you tell one lie, you got to keep telling lies. Or whatever it is, I don't do this not because of fear I'm going to get caught. Not because of fear that, if I do this, something bad's going to happen. I don't do those things because I recognize who I am in Christ Jesus. That I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Who I am is lived out, and the way I'm living it out is called holiness. Holiness is not what I'm doing. Holiness emanates from who I am. It's just the natural fruit, is how the writer of Hebrews says, calls it, the peaceable fruit of righteousness. So what I do is simply the fruit of who I am. So I love Sherry, and I'm married to Sherry, and we are husband and wife. That is who I am. I am her husband. And so that dictates how I live my life. That dictates where I go. That dictates what I say. That dictates what I do. I know that I don't call Sherry from Hooters at 9 o'clock and say, honey.
You better believe it.
I just stopped in here to get some wings. I know what would happen to me. But the reason I don't do that is not the fear of what would happen to me when I get home. I don't do that because of who I am. I'm her husband. And so as her husband, there's a certain way that I want to live, not have to live. Have to live is holiness that is based upon works. But in living out of who I am, that is the holiness of God. Understanding who I am, which is righteousness, determines how I live, which is holiness. And notice how this righteousness comes about. The writer of Hebrews says that I am trained. We read it a little earlier. Trained in righteousness. I'm trained in righteousness. And training simply means that even though I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that there are times that I may make a mistake. There are times that I may falter. There are times that I may take the wrong choice. But I'm in training. And God is training me in true righteousness. Everybody knows that I have started taking golf lessons. And I really enjoy golf. I think I enjoy the lessons more than Butch does. Because sometimes he'll say, you know, if I could just get you to do this. I said, I'm trying, Butch. I'm really trying. He's training me. But one of the things I've learned is in all sports, including golf, there are a lot of life lessons that you can find. And one of the things I've learned from golf that applies to life is this. Nothing in my swing or the flight of the ball is going to change unless I change. Nothing, the way I foul off pitches in baseball, is going to change unless I change. Nothing in life is going to change unless I change. Well, I'm praying that my wife will change. I'm praying that my son will change. I'm praying my granddaughter will change. Maybe we should be praying, Lord, I need to change too. Train me, Lord, change my life. Train me in this righteousness that the writer of Hebrews writes about. Train me, Lord, in this true righteousness. Train me. So when I do mess up, when something does happen, rather than starting to beat myself up, I say, you know what? I'm in training. And one of the things I've just learned is I don't want to do that anymore. I'm in training. I'm being trained in righteousness. And I love how the writer of Hebrews described it. He called it the peaceable fruit of righteousness. It's that sweet spot. It's that, you know, when you're playing baseball, there's that sweet spot. There's that place where, you know, when that part of the bat hits the ball is going where you want it to go. It's that sweet spot. And that's what the writer of Hebrews is saying. He trains us in the peaceable fruit of righteousness. And that is the sweet spot of discipline. Is that when God, through disciplining my life, brings me to that sweet spot of holiness, where the choices I made last year no longer even entertain me anymore. Where the choices and the decisions I made 3 years ago no longer even enter my mind. Where the choices I made 15 years ago, when that thought comes into my mind, I say, Lord, I want to thank you that I may have done that 15 years ago, but I want to thank you that you've changed me and you've changed my heart and you've changed my attitude and you've changed my outlook. You are changing me. so that that which used to appeal to me no longer appeals to me because I am at peace. And that is the goal of God's discipline in us. It's not to beat us up. It's not to punish us. It's not to make us feel bad. It's not to heap condemnation on us. It's to bring us to that place in our life where we say, wow, I'm at peace. I am at peace. No one looks forward to discipline. But the writer of Hebrews says that the end result of discipline, of God's discipline, is peace and righteousness. With God, discipline is not punishment. It is training me in righteousness so that where I stumbled last week no longer is the stumbling block anymore. It's now become the stepping stone into a new level of peace. Let's think about it. You were sitting on the couch on September 15th and you saw a commercial about the 5K turkey trot that's going to be run on Thanksgiving morning. And you said to yourself, you know what? When I was in high school, I used to run on the track team. And that was 40 years ago and 80 pounds ago. But you know what? I want to run in the turkey trot this year. I may not be able to run the whole thing, but I want to at least try. So you got up off the couch. You put down the remote control. You put away that box of chocolate hearts you've been eating since Valentine's. And you said, I'm going to go outside and I'm going to start training. And so you began training. You would walk 10 seconds and then you would jog 10 seconds. And then you would walk 10 seconds and then you would jog 10 seconds. Maybe you couldn't even jog 10 seconds. You said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to walk to the mailbox and back to the front door 5 times today without stopping. And by the time you got to the front door on the 5th time, you could barely open the door. You were so tired. But you got up the next day and you said, I'm going to walk 5 times to the mailbox and 5 times to the front door. And about 3 days later, you're like, I got to the front door and I got a little bit of energy. I think tomorrow I'm going for 10 to the mailbox and back to the front door. And before long, you say, you know what? I think I'm going to walk down to the stop sign and then I'm going to come back to the front door. And you kept training yourself. You kept pushing yourself a little bit. The couch kept calling you, come back. I miss you. You made me feel complete. And the refrigerator calls to you, key lime pie, German chocolate cake, fudge brownies. But you kept walking by it. And after about a month, you realize, you know what? I think I could walk 1/2 mile today. And you walked 1/2 mile. And before long you said, you know what? I think I can walk 1 mile today. I may have to stop a couple times and rest and stand under a tree and get my breath back, but I can do it. And you know what happened? Thanksgiving morning, you got up, you drove to Tom Brown Park, you got your little number on you, and you got your little turkey trot t-shirt, and it used to be 2X, but now you realize you can wear a 1X on it, and you took off with that group, and you jogged some, and you walked some, and you stood over to the side and got your breath some, but then you got back in it. And at the end of the day, you crossed the finish line and you went home and you said, I did it. It took me some training. It took effort. It took sacrifice, but I did it. That is the discipline of God. It is when God looks at you and I and He says, you know what I see when I see you? I see holiness. I see righteousness. I see you clothed in my righteousness and my holiness. And you say, but Lord, that's not what I see. I need you, Holy Spirit, to change my heart. I need you, Holy Spirit, to do in my life those things that need to be done. I still lose my temper. I still pop off. I still let words come out of my mouth that I wish didn't come out. I still lust. I still get angry. These things are still going on in my life. And the Lord says, they are, but I'm going to train you. You're entering into my training. And I'm going to take you step by step, day by day. I'm not going to expect you to run 3 miles tomorrow. I'm going to understand that maybe all you can do is walk to the mailbox and back one time. But I'm going to keep training you. And every now and then, I'm going to show you something that used to be in your life and you didn't even realize it, that I've already pulled it out. Because you're in training, and I'm getting you ready. And before long, you start feeling that peace begin to bubble up. And now when you're flipping through the television, and you come across that channel that used to entice you, you just keep right on clicking. In fact, you say to your wife, you know what, I think we need to cancel that service, because we don't need to be watching that. Okay, enough of that. But it's training. And the writer of Hebrews says this is the work of God's discipline. It's not to beat you up. It's not to punish you. It's not to humiliate you. It's not to say, go stand in the corner with your nose up against the wall and don't you come out. No, God is training us through discipline, because God has got a goal in mind. And the goal in mind is that one day we can stand and say with the Apostle Paul, I have kept the faith. I have finished the course. I have run the race. Because the Holy Spirit trained me in righteousness. There are still things that pop up in my life. And I'll talk to Sherry and I say, honey, man, I'm just got to keep praying about this one. This one's requiring a little more training. I'm going to have to keep praying about this. But I want to tell you, what God is doing in your life. If you and I could only see God's mirror, and we could see where we used to be, but where He's brought us to, you know what we would do? We wouldn't throw up our hands and say, oh my goodness, look how bad I used to be. No, we'd look at it and say, oh my goodness, thank God, I used to be there, but now I'm here. And I believe because I'm here and I used to be there, I can get over to there from here. And I'm going to keep at it. I'm going to keep working. I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep seeking God. I'm going to yield to His discipline, because He's doing a work in me, because He loves me. So don't faint. Don't give up. Endure. Endure. This is not a time to faint. This is not a time to throw in the towel. This is not a time to throw up our hands and say, I give up. No, this is a time to say, God's working on my life. It's not pleasant. It's painful. But I know He's working. And I know where He's taking me. He's good. You know, there's no greater joy, I think, as a parent, than when you see something in your child, the way they treat their children, and you say, I know where that came from. I know where that came from. And the Father looks at you and I today, and He says, oh, my child, if you could only see what I brought you out of, if you could only see where you are today, and if you could only see what my discipline in your life is turning you into and taking you toward. So we do not faint. We do not give up. We endure discipline, because we know that the discipline of God is producing in us the peaceable fruit of righteousness, and is allowing us to share in His holiness. Father, I thank You that You love us enough to not leave us where we are and to not leave us like we are. But, oh God, I thank You that You're so good to us, and Your discipline, Lord, is not out of Your anger, it's out of Your love and Your compassion. Your discipline is not to set us back. Your discipline is to move us forward. Your discipline is not a reaction to who we are. Your discipline, Lord, is a reaction to where You're taking us. So, Lord, today, We choose to not faint. We choose to yield to your discipline in our lives. And we give you thanks, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to...